We have more Jeffs than you do. It's the Bill King Show.
Mike Griffith with us, AJC's Dog Nation. Check out all his work, all his travels. Media Days coming up in a few weeks. Wow. It's happening, y'all. Griff, the Supreme Court decision on Monday, were you able to absorb it and your thoughts on it, if you did?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that schools now can, you know, they're not capped on what they can spend on educational resources for the student-athletes. So computers, laptops, trips abroad, things like that. I think a lot of schools are already doing that, honestly. You know, and it's a win for the student-athlete. I mean, you know, they've already gotten stipends. There's already the value of the education. And now schools can, you know, give them whatever they want towards even more towards their education. That's in one bucket. And then you got the name, image, likeness on the other, you know, where six states go live on July 1st, and it looks like the NCAA is scrambling to get everybody else caught up and maintain a level playing field. But again, you know, there's some people that believe that a lot of these athletes are already being paid. So it's just taking it above board now. And then there's, you know, it's a little bit of the Wild West as far as how is this going to be regulated, you know, how is this going to be enforced. You know, there's a lot to be determined. I mean, collegiate sports is going pro right before our eyes. You know, expanded playoffs, players paid, enhanced compensation for attending school. It's pretty fascinating.
Griff, when you were in college and when I was in college, early, for me it would be early 80s, if I had the opportunity to play D1 ball somewhere and get paid and be coddled like this, and that's just me now, maybe I was just immature, I wouldn't have gotten anything done. I'd have been chasing girls and in the bar probably half the week. You think we're going to have issues here?
You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say because, you know, the cycle, Bill, is just increased so much. You know, and I'm came along about 10 years later than you as far as college. And, you know, my case is a little different. I went in the military 3 years right before college. So when I went to college, man, I was hooked up and ready to go. I'd already sacrificed 3 years of my life to get the college money, and it was a business trip for me. And I was working full-time all the way through college at the newspaper. So, you know, I approached it differently than maybe somebody right out of high school with stars in their eyes. You know, the training schedule for these kids now is such that there's not a lot of free time. You know, what I do wonder about is will we see some Isaiah Wilsons on the college level, right? You know, you see Isaiah Wilson, the first-round draft pick that gets the big bonus money and just basically just kind of went crazy with it, just spends it, doesn't really want to play football, got the bonus money to sign, and just doing life his own way. And, you know, will there be some other student athlete that gets some, you know, huge NIL deal coming right out of high school, one of the top 10 recruits is supposed to be, and just has all that money and says, you know what, I've got a guaranteed NIL deal, I'm not even going to go to college, I'm just going to use my signing bonus. I wonder, but you know, most cases, I don't think it's going to be an issue simply because in the infancy of this, I think these are going to be a lot of one-off deals. I don't think you're going to see like four-year contracts for these student-athletes to make money. I think they're going to be somewhat modest on the front end for the most part. I think this is something that's going to evolve. And again, because a lot of these student-athletes, particularly football and basketball, I mean, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, they're going to camps. They're, you know, they're doing what they got to do to get into these schools. So they've already sacrificed a lot, and they've already kind of acquainted themselves with a pretty disciplined schedule. So I don't think it's going to be in that sense as much as what does it do in the locker room. That's the question. You know, when you've got a, I'll give you an example. So Georgia's got four or five great tailbacks. Well, not great. Maybe one or two great ones and three good ones. So the position coach says, we've got a committee here. We're running back by committee, and we all share carries, and we all root for each other. You know, and we're going to have Zamir White start because he's the senior and he's earned it. Well, you know, when it's apples to apples, everybody's happy. But what if now Zamir White being the starter gets him an endorsement deal and the other four guys don't have an endorsement deal? Is everybody still willing to share carries? Is everybody still cool with stepping back, letting the older guy start? You know, or do they say, hey, no, you start the best guy. Or, no, I start because I'm the best and I want the endorsement. You just wonder, how does that affect the chemistry and the whole esprit de corps and team-first attitude?
I was just thinking, Griff. Let's say, and we all know a locker room is a very delicate ecosystem. It really is. How about a player holding out because they don't like their NIL deal? I'm not playing. Make it right.
I don't know about holding out, but maybe transferring because they can get an NIL deal somewhere else.
Better deal.
If you hold out, you know Jamie Newman, right, sits out last year, and I don't even know where he's at now. Didn't get drafted and got cut by the Eagles. So, you know, there's a danger to holding out. There's still enough people playing college football that you're easily replaced in college football more so. Now, you're saying, you know, maybe like a marquee guy. I just can't imagine the damage that a holdout would do to an athlete's ability to endorse. Can't imagine. But what I can imagine is a student athlete saying, why should I be the number three running back at this school with no NIL deal when I could go to this other school and get an NIL deal and start, right? It's no longer just a matter of, you know, where can I develop the best or where do I feel the most comfortable? It's a matter of where can I make the most money right now? Because for some guys, you know, college would have represented, you know, their best opportunity to make money. I mean, look at Aaron Murray, for example. You know, Aaron Murray is the SEC's all-time leading passer, right? Well, what good does that do him right now? You know, I was talking with Drew Butler, another former Georgia guy and All-American, son Kevin Butler. Super Bowl kicker with the Bears, and he says Aaron Murray would have made $500,000 in college. Now, that's not chump change. Right? It's not money you're going to retire off either, but it's significant. And, you know, I think there's a lot of student-athletes, you know, that have something to gain, but to your point, there's going to be a lot of unintended consequences.
Griff's with us from the AJC's Dog Nation. I don't know if you saw this, and I think this is just conversations taking place. Pac-12 ADs and the new commissioner are discussing the future, and obviously the Pac-12's got an identity crisis on their hands. I kind of out of sight, out of mind. The committee doesn't seem all that interested in them, at least in the moment. But one discussion they're having is doing away with divisions. Is that something that the expansion of the playoff would expedite or something that would lead us down that road in other leagues or not?
Yeah, probably because, you know, the importance of the championship game, you know, takes on a whole new meaning now. And you want to make sure that your two best teams are in there. And the reason why is, you know, you don't want a 3 or 4 loss, you know, divisional team knocking off an undefeated team. I mean, what if, for example, an undefeated Clemson lost in the ACC championship game to a 3 or 4 loss team in a massive upset? It would destroy the conference's, you know, chances of putting one or two teams in the playoff, right? And for the conferences, the objective is to get as many teams in as possible because the more teams you get in, you know, the bigger your cut. So conferences want to optimize their scheduling. They want to optimize their championship game to get as many teams in there as possible. I think, you know, from what I understand, the SEC was happy with 4 teams because they could often get, you know, you know, they've won so many, right? And I think there are times they could get 2 in. 12 is better than 8, though, for the SEC. And the reason why is because if you went to 8, you're talking about automatic bids for conference champions, and that takes up 5 with the Power 5, right? And then you have to cut one in, you know, for a group of 5 schools. So now you're at 6, and then you got to have another provision, and now you're at 7. So, you know, now there's just that one extra bid flow. Now, You go to 12, you could have three SEC teams in there. Maybe four, right? Because there's six. You know, your tops, the way it's set up, the top six ranked conference champs go in, and then the conference, college football playoff committee, you know, they're still, you know, bumbling around there. They get to pick the next six. You know, and listen, I don't mean to pick on anybody, and these are intelligent people. I just feel like there's a lot of politics that become involved, you know, and you know, I brought up 2018 with George getting left out of, you know, Oklahoma, and all people, oh, well, Georgia, you know, they lost, LSU. Oklahoma was not one of the four best teams, okay? They had one less loss than Georgia, but they weren't one of the four best teams. Both Oklahoma and Georgia had a loss in the season, and then Georgia had to play an undefeated Alabama team. They had beaten everybody by 21 points in the regular season. They lost in the fourth quarter by a touchdown. They were clearly a better team if you watched Oklahoma play Alabama in the playoff. Four best didn't apply. Politics did. And people said, oh, you know, yeah, you just covered Georgia, so go away. All right, whatever. I'd point out that Georgia Tech, Florida, and Oklahoma had representatives on the College Football Playoff Committee, which was just heinous to me. Last year, criminal. Notre Dame loses 34-10 and gets in the College Football Playoff. Bill, that shouldn't happen. That was what it was. That was Notre Dame getting in because they're Notre Dame. Now, moving forward, Notre Dame, as things stand, cannot get a bye in this 12-team playoff system that's being proposed because the top four teams that get byes have to be conference champions. Well, Notre Dame's not going to join a conference because then they would have to share their television revenue. As it is, they keep all that money to themselves. So while the SEC shares their television revenue, there's television deals, Notre Dame keeps it all themselves. They go, yeah, we could join a conference, but why would we do that? We've got NBC money all to ourselves. Huge advantage. So we're not going to join. So I'm thinking, wow, this is really interesting that Notre Dame would sign off on this plan, you know, to have college, you know, to not get. So what did I see happen last week? A new person was appointed to the College Football Playoff Committee. Guess where they have ties to? Notre Dame. So this College Football Playoff Committee is so doggone troubling to me. It's so troubling because you're putting 13 people in charge of college football. 13 people, just randomly. And they all have ties. And how you can say that there's not an inherent bias is absolutely naive. I mean, we've all taken enough psychology classes to know that everyone has a degree of bias simply based on your perspective and your experiences and where you've been and what you know and what you don't know. How in the world can we expect 13 people, you know, unless they came from another planet and didn't know what football was, and that's called computers, by the way, which the brilliant Roy Kramer had in place for the BCS. But people had a problem with it because you couldn't manipulate it to get the matchups you wanted. And that's all that's happening here. And that's why the College Football Playoff Committee stays involved, because they can be manipulated to get television matchups that are attractive, like last year when Notre Dame made the College Football Playoff. That's what that was. People didn't want to see an A&M-Alabama rematch. Put Notre Dame in there, you get better TV ratings. Better TV ratings, more advertisers, more money. Everybody looks the other way. I'm not looking the other way. I'm just telling like it is here.
Griff, anything you want to promote? Anything you're working on?
No, I mean, actually, yeah. You know, I did an interview last night with a guy named Jack Bowerly. He's the dean of SEC coaches, 43 years as Georgia's swim coach, going to the Olympics. I don't think Olympics right now. The U.S. swim trials just ended. To me, one of the best events I've ever covered. En route when I did the 2012 Olympics in London. Listen, I've never done the Olympics. I'm a stick and ball guy, some NASCAR, but I'd never really done the Olympics. I got the assignment. I was kind of like, whatever. But let me tell you, man, the swimming trials, unbelievable drama, personable athletes. Once out of every four years, you take your best swing. You don't get in on time. You don't get a bye. You don't get a free pass. You got to show up in Omaha and be one of the best. And let me tell you, those U.S. swim trials are tougher than the Olympics, and that's not an exaggeration. Team USA in swimming dominates. We have the best swimmers in the world. It's harder to make Team USA than it is to medal in the Olympics. That's not an exaggeration. That's based on times, and you can look it up for yourself. So that is huge. Track and field going on right now. The Olympics, they're coming Tokyo next month. It is kind of a slower time of the off season for football. And don't get me wrong, I'm all over this NIL stuff and the Supreme Court ruling, and I'll be doing some localizations and what does that mean. But to me, this is a time where, you know, I would challenge fans of the respective schools to really take note of your Olympic athletes, once out of every 4 years at least. I know you don't normally follow track, you don't normally follow swimming, you don't normally take the time to learn the stories, but these athletes are incredible, and most of them aren't on full scholarship. Most of them are paying out of their pocket. We're talking about football players going into football facilities that have Lamborghini seats in front of their lockers and water jet massage chairs, all right? And I'm telling you about track athletes and swimmers that are paying for their education and working jobs in the offseason. And once out of 4 years, they go for the gold and the glory. And maybe they'll get a small shot, they'll get a small deal in place, but they're working every bit as hard as the revenue. And to me, dialing it all the way back to the start of the interview, Bill, what this really is going to do is drive a real divide between those soccer players, softball, track, swimmers.
Hey, Griff, there's the music.
Sports like football and basketball.
Hey, Griff, appreciate it, bud. Always a pleasure to have Griff here. Very eloquent, as always. We'll see you next week, sir. Omni Nashville Hotel.